Certainly is a blessing. Thank you, Ms. Martha. Of course, next Sunday is our anniversary service. We're going to have a great time together, and we're going to be having one of our former interns to come in and preach in a split with Brother Colin in the afternoon. Brother Josiah is going to be here. And the other day we were talking about nicknaming him Tiny. He's anything but Tiny, but nonetheless, we're looking forward to that wonderful time next week, and you're certainly invited. Come and have a good time with us, and we'll feed you some excellent barbecue in the afternoon, and we'll have a good time together and just celebrate God's goodness on this ministry and this the church here. Take your Bibles and go to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. I'd like, with the Lord's help, to continue the short series on the great redemption story of God to mankind. It is the story of all mankind for all time, including mankind and the pre-flood era, the post-flood law, the second covenant, of course, the tribulation, the future reign of Christ and His kingdom. It is the great story of God. It is His story. His history is about His story. And we find with humanity, as we learned yesterday, I loved it. Brother David Bryant just has a good way with words, you know, and he preached Brother Joe's funeral yesterday, and I told Brother Rick, I said, boy, I'm going to have to use that, and so here it is. With humanity, we find that there are the saints and the ain'ts. Don't you like that? There are the saints, and there are, I told you, it's pretty good, you know, you go to fellowship meetings and some funerals, you know, to just get that kind of stuff, you know, it's really good. But in other words, there are the redeemed of the Lord, and there are those who are not and have not been redeemed. Now, if you're going to be in heaven with the saints of God, if you're going to be in heaven with the saints of God, giving praise to the Lamb that was slain forever and ever and ever, you're going to have to be washed clean in the blood of the Lamb. You're going to. You must be washed clean in the blood of the Lamb. There's no other way into heaven than to be washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. Of course, speaking of the atonement of the Lord for the sins of the world, the Lord of glory said while He was still on earth doing His ministry, in John chapter 14, you hear this often around, also around funerals, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me." So believe in the Father and believe in Me. Is that right? Believe in the Father and believe in Me, the Eternal Son. "In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." Then Thomas, of course, saith unto Him, "Lord, we know not whither Thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Not a way, the way. The article, the way. Jesus saith unto him, "I am," what? Say it with me. "The way, the truth, and the life." Then here, the declaration statement. "No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." That's pretty clear, isn't it? No man, anytime will ever go to the Father but by Jesus. For Adam, guess what? It was by Christ. How about that? How about Abel? By Christ. How about for Noah? By Christ. How about Abraham? By Christ. How about Moses? By Christ. How about Aaron? By Christ. How about David? By Christ. How about Rahab? By Christ. How about Paul? By Christ. How about John? By Christ. How about me? By Christ. How about you? By Christ. Jesus, the Lord of glory, is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, who will be praised forever and ever in heaven by all saints of God for all time. And that's the message of our text today. No man, no person, no one will be in heaven except they have been redeemed by the Lord our God, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The conquering Christ, resurrected from the death of the cross, is the hero of the story. He's the hero of the story. And it's a real story. It's not just somebody's imagination. He conquered, of course, He conquered death and the grave through a supernatural resurrection. His victory on the cross spawned a new song that will be sang for all time. It spawned a new song. Victory in Jesus. Well, almost. Almost. Also included in our text in verse 9 of Revelation 5, and they sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof. And the reason for that is given. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy, singular, thy, yours and yours alone, your blood, thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Look at verse 13. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, John said, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. They're seen together as one, the Father and the Son. Is that right? I said, is that right? Does that sound familiar? It should sound familiar to you. I and the Father are one. John 10, 37 and 38. The Lord said, If I do not the works, for I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. And we see again in this great text of Revelation 5, the Father and the Son. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Redemption. What does it mean to be redeemed? It means to purchase, to buy. Because redemption was accomplished by paying a price. What price did it take to redeem the souls of all men for all time who would be redeemed? What price would that be? The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's only one redemptive plan of God. Only one. Not two, not three, not four, not five. One and just only one. There's one Redeemer. There's one Redeemer. Only one has purchased sinners out of the slave market of sin to the Lord our God. Redeemed, purchased out of that vile market and redeemed to God. How? John answers that question by the sacrifice of the Lamb now risen. By the sacrifice of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, now not dead any longer, but now risen. Now to our text in Revelation chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. John says, And I wept much. He fell apart. I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed. He hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Now, how did this Lion, the Lion of Judah, prevail to become worthy to open the book to loose the seven seals? Was it by military conquest? Was it by a political campaign? Not at all. But by his sacrifice for sins on the cross of Calvary. For when John turns to see this Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, what does he see in his vision? Well, I'll tell you exactly what he sees is the great Lamb of God as it had been slain. That's what he sees. How did Christ overcome our sin? By his suffering and his death on the cross of Calvary. Look at verse 6. John says, And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a Lamb, as it had been slain. A lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy, thou, the Lord, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. The reason is given, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood, by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever, seen together as one. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. So the whole universe, therefore, the whole universe is here represented in a state of profound adoration of the Holy Father and his beloved Son, who was the Lamb that had been slain on the cross of Calvary. Now, who are these 24 elders? Well, we don't have to guess because we find it in Revelation 21. Revelation 21, if you would catch me there, it's the same written here in New Jerusalem. In Revelation 21, I'll begin in verse 10. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel, so the patriarchs. On the east side, 3 gates, and on the north side, 3 gates, and on the south, 3 gates, and on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Who's that? That's apostles of the Lord our God. Now back to our text in Revelation 5. Who then is worthy to open the book with the seals? One and only. Only one and only of all time, the Lamb can open up this book. Only he is made worthy by his conquest. What conquest? While he was on earth, his conquest to go to the cross, to die for the sins of the world. But this Lamb has some descriptions that are a little bit different this time than John the Baptist when he saw him and said, Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. This word for Lamb is used much in the Revelation as a dominance, has a dominance indications to it, used at least 29 times, yet one brought to the slaughter, as Jeremiah 11:19 says, and Isaiah 53. Let me give you a passage in Isaiah 53, which is great historic stuff for the Lord. In verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Now the lamb that we see here in chapter 5 of Revelation verse 6, that lamb had 7 horns, 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits dispatched to all the earth. Here's the supreme moment of John's vision. It's the emergence of the lamb into the scene of the heavens, and the lamb becomes the center point of everyone's attention. Who's worthy to open this book? Listen to what one man wrote. Number one, the Lamb still bears the marks, not dead, but still bears the marks of having been slain. Still bears those marks. There we have the picture of the sacrifice of Christ still visible in the heavenly places. Even in the heavenly places, Jesus Christ is the one who loved us and gave himself for us and still bears the marks of doing so. There's another side to this. The same lamb with the marks of sacrifice still on it is the lamb with the 7 horns and 7 eyes. That's different. That's different. The 7 horns stands for omnipotence. The Old Testament, the horns stand for two things. Number one, it stands for power, raw, sheer, ultimate power. Christ has all power given unto him. Number two, it stands for honor. Great honors we see in Psalm 89, 17, 112, 9, and 148, 14. Now here's the great paradox. As it says, the Lamb bears the sacrificial wounds upon it. All that we know about the sacrifice and the marks of the crucifixion. But at the same time, he is clothed with the very might of God, which can now shatter his enemies, destroy his enemies. The Lamb has seven horns. The number seven stands, of course, for perfection. The power of the Lamb is perfect without anyone being able to stand against him, for he has all power. He has all power. He has all power. Who is this? The Lamb that was slain has all power. All the saints of God with the 24 elders, with everybody else in heaven, sing a new song of victory about the great work of this Lamb. As it had been slain. Plainly showing his sacrificial life on the altar, on the altar of God for our sin on the cross of Calvary, yet applied to those who believe. The Bible says, for thou wast slain and hath redeemed us to God. So thou wast slain and you have redeemed us out of the marketplace of sin, but not just that, unto God. We have a place we're taken from that we deserve and given a place that we do not deserve. And that's in heaven with the Lord our God. Now, it's been well said, and others have been in the book of the Revelation, not too far in the past. It's been said of chapter 4 of Revelation that God is worshipped as creator, but in chapter 5, he's worshipped as redeemer. He's worshipped as redeemer. And that's our theme, to worship him who hath redeemed us. Now, John represents all of the human inhabitants of heaven before the throne of God from all nations, all different tongues, all different tribes, because this lamb slain, because of the blood of this special lamb sacrificed, now alive, and he was dead and now live, right? And have the keys. Thus, he's the only one in all the world qualified to open this book. The only one. Now, let me give you two verses. First is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. Paul says, for ye are bought with a price. That's your redemption. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Somebody says, how dare you? How dare you tell me that God expects us to live a certain way? Well, I dare. You're bought with a price. What price is that? The blood of the Lamb of God. If that didn't get your attention, I can't give you an illustration that would. Number two, Acts 20, 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Now John, seeing this vision, he became very distraught because he wanted this book to be open. But he looked around and no one's qualified until an elder said, hold on just a minute, son, hold on just a minute. There's something maybe you need to see that you did not see, you did not realize. There's someone here worthy to open the book. And this is the Lamb of God, now slain. Universally hear praise for having redeemed all the saints of all time. Now, the animal sacrifices of the law all pointed to the means of redemption which would come. The Lord Jesus Christ. All pointed, every single one of them, they all pointed to the means of redemption that should come as prophesied and as promised all the way back in the Lord our God. The Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, what about the animal sacrifices of the Jews and the millennial? What will they be? They will not be the means of redemption. They will be a memorial to the means of redemption. They will yet be pointers, one pointed toward and the other will point back to show the great seriousness and the need of this Lamb and his blood shed for the remission of sins. Now, I love this. One of these writers very well said, it very well may be that when we get to heaven, we kind of expect when we get to heaven, we're going to see a beautiful Lord. He's going to look just like Hollywood's version. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I don't think so. I think this writer is right. It's not new for those who have studied the Scripture. I don't think we'll see the perfect face of our Lord, but I think we'll look upon Him as those have and did who were astonished at the marring of what took place by His sacrifice. His face marred, beaten, bruised, wounded, what? For our transgressions? Yes. For His? No. For whose? Ours. Ours. For our iniquities, He suffered. Our iniquities, your sin, my sin, He died on that cruel cross. Jesus suffered and died for you. How much so? Well, take your Bibles over to Isaiah chapter 52. Let me show you something. Maybe give you a little bit of insight to counter some of Hollywood's false notions out there. Or as the old preachers say, Hollywood would give you a notion. Amen? Hollywood. Look at verse 13 of Isaiah 52. Behold, you there? All right, behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle, speaking of the blood atonement, many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Look at chapter 53, verse 5. Chapter 53, verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter. Slaughter. You ever been to a slaughterhouse? And as sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Drop down to verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. What is this man's point? When you see the Lord, you will know. You'll know. And every time you see the Lord in heaven, you will know. That's Him. That's Him. How? By the scars in His body. You'll know Him. It will be a reminder of the price and the very reason why we have gained entrance into that holy place is because His body was beaten beyond recognition for us. And He died on the cross for our sin. Now let me drop here in just a little bit from the last 2 weeks. We at this church, we believe in a Christocentric view of the Holy Scriptures, that the words of the prophets, the words of the Scripture, all ultimately speak towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses spoke of that holy prophet that should come, and that we better pay attention to what he has to say, right? Moses spoke about him. Christ our Lord spoke to two men walking on the road to Emmaus. after his crucifixion, and he said unto them, O fools, slow at heart to believe all that the prophets had written. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? They were expecting that triumphant Christ, and they saw the one who was slain. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? That was God's plan all along. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. The whole of scripture is about the great redemptive story of this Lamb. The whole of the scripture is about that wonderful story. That's why the Lord says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. The good news is we, like Timothy, can know the scriptures, even just the Old Testament, and know that he is that Lamb that was to come. In 2 Timothy 3:15, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. That's the Old Testament. You've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Timothy, a Jew by his mother, knowing the Holy Scriptures, could be saved through faith. Through faith. Just as Romans 3:30 speaks about the Gentiles, and Peter in Acts 15 speaks about the Gentiles being saved by faith, just like, guess who? The Jews. The same as those mentioned in Hebrews 11 were saved and lived a righteous life by faith. Christ in his redemption story is not to be seen as starting in the New Testament. His redemptive story is to be seen in eternity past, before the foundation of the world. This Lamb was slain by God, the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of the eternality of the view of God, the sight of God, the understanding of God, John says, slain from the foundation of the world in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. What's it pictured by? Well, it's pictured by the blood sacrifice even in the garden. Promised by God and the seed would come to bless all the people of the earth. Pictured by the blood sacrifice of righteous Abel. Pictured by the blood sacrifice of Noah. Pictured by the Passover lamb. Pictured by the scarlet cord in the window of Rahab. Pictured by the sacrifices of all the laws of the Jews. Preached by the prophets, every single one of them. Promised by God. He would come. He would come. He would come and deliver. Redeem his people. Provided by God, as Abraham said to his son Isaac, God will provide himself a lamb. No man, no woman ever provides the atonement for their own sin. Period. If you're going to be washed clean, you have to be washed clean by this lamb. In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. This is God's redemptive plan. Just as John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Hebrews 9:26, the Bible says, and now once at the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He is the Redeemer. Jesus Christ is the Redeemer. There are well over 150 pictures of Christ in the Old Testament alone. Added in that, the prophecies and promises, we have far more than enough for every single sane person in the world to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Have you done that? If not, why not? Paul writes in Ephesians 1, 6 and 7, to the praise and glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. The only way you're going to be accepted by the Father is through the Son. In whom we have redemption, there's our word, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. You want to be forgiven all your sins? You can only have your sins forgiven by Christ. According to the riches of his grace, you never deserve it. You'll never be good enough. You'll never be able to give enough money. Never be able to get so many degrees you can earn your way. Acts 3, 18 through 21. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all of his prophets, that Christ should suffer, and he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive, and until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his prophets since the world began. It's always been his plan. Peter writing for help for the suffering saints in 1 Peter 1, Beginning of verse 18, he says, "Forasmuch as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers," that was their problem, "but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily," listen, "was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." The whole sacrificial system of the Jews in the Old Testament were there to point to the Lamb who would come. The blood of bulls and goats can never take away sin. Never means never. Never take away sin. But his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary can and will, if you'll turn in faith to him. In other words, God sees the disease of sin and he sends his son to remedy that. And that's paying for sin's debt, our sin debt. Verse 9 in our text, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hath redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people." Every tongue and people. Now here we see the provision of all the saints of God's redemption, the Lamb. The Lamb. Also we see who the person of the redemption is. That is only and exclusively who? The Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But we also see the problem. We haven't really given much attention to that, and that's part of our outline as too. What is the problem of redemption? Well, here it is, even in our text. Out of every kindred, out of every tongue, out of every people, out of every nation. Here's the sobering fact. When Jesus Christ died for the sins on the cross, he died for the sins of the whole world. Not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. Is that right? For the sins of the whole world. The problem is, not everyone in the world has received him as the gift of eternal life. Out of. Not all have believed in the only begotten Son of God. Not all have put their faith in this Lamb. In time past or times present or in times future. God so loved the world, so we know that the blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient to save each one. Each one from their sin. Each person could have the blood of Jesus Christ washed them clean, whiter than snow. Their sins permanently forgiven them and imparted the righteousness of the Son of God unto them. If, but only if, they would believe. The problem of redemption, if so many haven't received it. So many have said no to God and his wonderful gift. And that's a big problem. That is a big problem for humanity. If we do not accept God's judgment on his Son for the penalty of sin, you're going to have to pay that price yourself. And guess what that is? Death and hell. Now there's no need for you to pay that sin debt because Christ has paid that debt for you if you would receive the gift. But you have to receive that gift. You say, that sounds like a choice. That's exactly what I'm saying. And next time on this issue, we're going to look at this idea that if God, just declares that you're going to somehow be saved, you're going to be saved irregardless, Miss Sherry Carson, regardless of what we do or what we think. That ain't going to happen. You've got to choose. You have to put your personal faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you have not, listen, if you have not, and you die in that condition, you're not going to heaven. You are not going to heaven. Think about if you gave your only begotten Son that you had had harmony with for all eternity past for the sins of the world, and then someone did not accept that wonderful gift. Would you be upset with them? And I'm here to tell you, if you deny, you disregard this wonderful gift of forgiveness of sins, when the wrath of God was poured out on His Son in your place, you will suffer His wrath. And it won't be a Hollywood movie. You'll suffer His wrath. You say, wow, that's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. The problem is out of every kindred, out of every tongue, out of every people, out of every... That means there are some who will believe, put their faith and trust in this Lamb. There are others out of those who do not. And that could be you today. Christ's blood is sufficient to save every man, woman, and boy and girl. It's His desire that all would come to the knowledge of salvation through Jesus Christ. That's His desire. He doesn't want you to go to hell. He sent His Son to die in your place so you would not have to go to hell. But you have to believe. You have to put your faith and trust in Him. Now, let me give you a side note here just a little bit. For the saved, though our full redemption is yet to be completed, and by that I mean in Romans 8:23, we see that we will yet have our bodies redeemed, all right? We will have a new body when the resurrection takes place. And that body, to wit, the redemption of the body, is yet to be redeemed. Who I am, though, in Christ has already been redeemed. But yet my body, this earthly tabernacle, is where sin abides and where I drag it around in my life. That is in my flesh. And the Bible says, in that flesh dwelleth no good thing. That's what your number one problem is. No good thing in my flesh. It dogs your trail every single hour, every single day. Dwelleth no good thing. But praise be unto God. One day, that body is going to be changed to wit the redemption of a new body. Promised by Almighty God. Guaranteed. If you've been saved, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's guaranteed you're going to get a new body. And I don't know about you, Bubba, but I'm looking forward to that. You wake up in the morning and this is aching. You wake up tomorrow, something else is aching, just reminding you what ached yesterday. Somebody said, the elder said, you know nothing yet. You're still a young man. You just wait. You just wait. For the unsaved, what is the answer for you? Today is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now. You say, why is the Bible so emphatic about now? Because you have no guarantee of tomorrow. No guarantee. Young people, listen. You have no guarantee to live another day. You single adults, you have no guarantee to live another day. You married, you have no guarantee to live another day. Preacher, I have no guarantee to live another day. It's an appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. That judgment is real, and it's pending. I would much rather be under the blood of the Lamb than have to suffer the wrath of Almighty God for refusing that great sacrifice for my sin. It's a big problem. Could I take you to one more passage? Could I do that? Let me show you something just right out of Romans chapter 10. I'll just read it, and I want you to see it for yourself. Please see it for yourself. Get your Bibles out. Look at this for yourself. Get your smartphones out. Look at it for yourself. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 10, verse 6. Romans chapter 10, verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, your mouth, not your mom and daddy, not your grandpappy, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. That conquest that we talked about in Revelation 5. Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, individual people, believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever, that's you, friend. That's me. You can write your name right there. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him, that Lamb. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you know that you know that you know that you're saved? If you don't, I wouldn't leave this room. I would not depart this service without bowing my heart before a holy God and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save my soul. Because I know there's only one Lamb that can take away my sin. And that's the one who died on the cross of Calvary so many years ago. And he alone is the one worthy to open the book. And all the saints of all time will be in heaven in the future, praising the Lord of glory, praising the Lamb. Worthy is he who was slain. And all through heaven time, walking the streets of gold, there goes the Lord. See his hands? See his feet? See his head? See his face? It will be a reminder. A Lamb beaten, crucified for the sins of my life. Listen, when you get to heaven, if you get to heaven,